Marvelous are thy works, O Lord, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Amen.
I'm marvelous. You know, that's a funny thing to say right now, given where we're going to go this morning. God has a sense of humor. Amen. I just caught the joke, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But let's do this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Amen. Romans chapter 7 on this first Sunday in August. Amen. Romans chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading from verse number 14. This is a passage of scripture that I believe you're familiar with. Sometimes it's a little bit of a rough sledding, but you know what Paul is talking about, because this is Paul talking about the Christian struggle. Amen. The struggle that we all have, spirit against flesh. Amen. And this is in Romans chapter 7, verse 14. And we're going to read down to verse 25, which is to the end of that chapter. So let's look at it together. It says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin."
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for the word, O God, that was just read into our hearing. We pray now that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you will make this word come alive.
Amen.
And Father God, let the word burn deeply in our heart. Burn with revelation, O God. Burn with inspiration, O God. Father, share with us your wisdom from on high. Father, we thank you right now, O God, that as a result of what you shall speak unto us on this day, our lives shall be changed. We decree it, God. We ask you now to establish it in this place. And Father, we humble ourselves before you now, that we may hear your voice, hear you speak unto us words of life and strength and faith and encouragement. Father God, bless every one of us, O God, with a listening ear, receptive heart, and feet that are quick to walk in the revealed word of God. And Father, I just ask you, O God, as you bless your people, that you bless me, O God, to do your will.
Yes.
I submit myself to your authority, that you may have your way. We give you the praise now for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God is a good God.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Sounds like a song. Amen. I just got finished saying, amen, that you are marvelous, right? You're made. God made you, amen. God made you to make a mistake, right? Marvelous are thy works, O Lord, in that my soul knoweth right well. And on the heels of that, I give you this title for our sermon today, which God gave me during the week. That's why I say God is funny, amen. And the title is, A Wretch Like Me. Praise God. Well, which one am I, preacher? Am I marvelous or am I a wretch? Amen. Praise God.
Marvelous wretch.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
A wretch like me. Amen. You know, like many of you, amen, the first time that I, at least, in my recollection, the first time I ever heard that word wretch was when I heard the song Amazing Grace. I had never heard the word wretch before. At least I don't remember having heard that word before, right? But we've heard it, right? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I wasn't too sure when I first heard that word, and even afterwards, I wasn't too sure what that word meant. But there was something on the inside of me that knew that that word wasn't too good. It just doesn't sound good. Wretch. I spent some time this week looking at myself in the mirror. I know you're going to say, yeah, it's crazy, but I was looking in the mirror as I said, wretch. And I couldn't say wretch without like my lip going up like in a little bit of a sneer. Wretch. It's just one of the words, amen. It's just a tough word. It doesn't sound good, doesn't feel good. And even when you say, when you go home and look at yourself, say wretch. I mean, you kind of look like you got an attitude, amen. Like, it's a hard word that comes off the tongue, amen, with a sharpness to it, amen. And wretch. So my sense was it wasn't a good word, and certainly, amen, I learned that is the case, because wretch is not anything that's good, amen. In fact, when you talk about a person who's a wretch, you're talking about a person who's miserable, a miserable person, a despicable person, someone who's deserving of hatred and contempt, a vile person, someone who's wicked and morally corrupt, a worthless person.
Wow.
That's what a wretch is. Amen. And in this scripture text, right, Paul is describing a struggle that's going on between his reborn spirit and the sinful desires of his flesh. And in verse 24, he refers to himself as a wretch. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And this is the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul, who, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote more than half of the New Testament books. Amen? Mm-hmm. And yet, this anointed, spirit-filled man referred to himself as a wretch. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what gives, right? You know, how do we... What's going on here? Now, a lot of people who are smarter than me, biblical scholars and others, amen, they have disagreed over the years whether when Paul wrote this passage of scripture, which talks about the Christian struggle, it actually begins in verse number 7 of Romans chapter 7. But there's been some disagreement whether he was referring to himself before he was saved or after he was saved. And I'll leave the debate to them. I would just tell you, as I read through the verses, amen, I believe he was writing at the time he was saved. He was referring to the time when he was saved, because he even says in verse 22, "I delight in the law of God." Mm-hmm. An unsaved person doesn't delight in the law of God.
Yeah.
They don't want to do God's word. In fact, an unsaved person doesn't want anything to do with God.
That's true.
And then verse 23, he says, amen, that there's a law in his members that's warring against the law of my mind. So that says to me that Paul had a renewed mind, but there was still something going on in his flesh that was contrary to that. So I believe he was describing himself as a believer. And this is important for us, because if we're believers, then we have the same struggle that Paul has. Amen. We have this same struggle. Amen. And so even though we're saved and our spirit has been born again, you know, we still have the struggle. Because here's the thing. Ever since Adam sinned, And I'm going to put it on Adam, even though I know Eve ate up the food first. Mm-hmm. But we put it on Adam, but Adam just stood there watching. And Adam was the head of the household, amen. That's why, husband, if your wife is messing up, you just can't sit there and say, that's her. No, God's going to come looking for you.
Amen.
It's your house, amen. That was he gave Adam, you know, headship over the garden. And so when things went awry, he said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't say, where are you, woman? Right? But she wasn't named Eve yet. But he didn't come looking for the woman. He came looking for Adam. So we put it on Adam. So ever since Adam sinned, every person born to human parents was born with a sin nature, right? Mm-hmm. An inborn desire to sin, an inborn desire to disobey God. Every last one of us. That's why I said to human parents, because that excludes Jesus, amen, because we know Jesus' mother, right? But that which is conceived in your womb is of the Holy Ghost. So, amen. We know Jesus is outside of that. Everyone born of human parents.
Yes. Amen.
That's why David said, right? He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin was I conceived. Mm-hmm. And we're all like that, right? Shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. Even though we're saved, our spirit has been born again. But that sin nature, right, that we all are born with, because no one is born saved.
Amen.
Right? No one. So that sin nature that we're born with, even though we get reborn, our spirit gets reborn, we still have that sin nature working in us in opposition to the things of God. Mm-hmm. Turn for 1 second. We'll come back to Romans. But let's just turn for 1 second to Galatians chapter 5. Just a few books ahead, amen. We go past 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then we get to Galatians. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Mm. And so even here, in writing to the church, in writing to the Galatians, he says, listen, there's a battle going on, right, between the spirit and the flesh. And the things that you want to do by your spirit, the flesh is operating in opposition to it. Amen. And to you doing those things. Mm-hmm. There's a battle going on within us. And so we have to realize that as Paul is talking about his struggle with that, with sin and his reborn spirit wanting to do certain things, and but yet his flesh wanting to do other things, that's his testimony, but that's our testimony as well. Mm-hmm. And it's an interesting thing about when Paul talks about this power of sin operating in the flesh. He says, he even talks about that, he says that he does the things that he hates. He says, what I hate, that do I. That shows you how powerful the sin nature is.
Yes.
That we may do something that's sinful and we don't even like it. You understand what I mean? We don't even like the thing, but we'll do it. Because sometimes we think that we're enticed by the things we like, and that's certainly true, right? You know, you like certain things, you want to do certain things, and you're drawn to it. And if it's sinful, then you say, well, yeah, because that's something I'm enticed by. But there are some things that Paul said, the things I hate, I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You ever do something that you hate?
Amen.
Amen. And so that's the power of it. Now, you know, there's going to be someone who's going to say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but my Bible says that I became a new creation when I was born again. And that's true, right?
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 5 and 17 does say that. It says that any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation,
yeah,
right? old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Right? And scripture also says in Romans 6 and 4 that when we were reborn, that we now are free to, we now can walk in newness of life. But even though we're born again, and even though we have this promise to walk in newness of life, we still have to deal with the vestiges of sin that's in our flesh.
Amen.
Right? And see, here's the thing, right? Let's always keep this in mind. How long did it take you to get saved?
Instant.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yeah.
Right? They who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you know that becoming saved takes a moment?
Amen.
Right? It takes a moment of you confessing and believing and calling upon the name of the Lord, and you're saved. Amen. So we get saved in a moment, but it takes a lifetime to learn how to live saved.
Yes. Amen.
Right? I got saved in a moment, but I now have to learn how to live saved.
Amen.
Because and that's what's called sanctification, right? Sanctification is a process. It's an ongoing process of becoming holy. But it doesn't end. That's why it says what? He who begun a good work in you shall complete it to the day of Christ. Right? Shall perform it. We don't become, just because we got saved, we don't become now some upright, sinless, always do the right thing, always say the right thing type of people. I wish that were the case. But that's not the case.
Yes.
Amen. And I know in some places, amen, you know, folk might go around saying, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and not with a mighty burning fire. I understand. But that's just a saying. Right? Because sanctification is ongoing. It's ongoing. It hasn't been completed. How are you speaking past tense, sanctified? Amen. It's ongoing.
Sanctification. Amen.
And so, this is the reality. Amen. You know that Paul told the church at Ephesus, and he told the church at Colossus, he told them, he said, listen, before you got saved, he said, you were dead in your sins. He said, you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. Right? And all of us, right, that's our testimony. We were dead in our sins and trespasses before we accepted Jesus Christ, who took away, amen, who washed away our sin. But we were dead in our sins. And that's understandable, right? Because the wages of sin is death. And so if we, right, were walking in sin and transgression, then of course we were dead in them, right? But when we accepted Christ, yes, we got raised to a new life. But for anybody who struggles, say, well, then, but which one is it? Am I raised to a new life, or am I still trapped and struggling with sin? And the answer is both.
Yes.
How can it be both? Here's a good example. Maybe we can see this with our spiritual eyes. Do you remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? He came after 4 days and Lazarus had been in the tomb, and Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, separately, both told him, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. Mm-hmm. And after talking to Martha, Jesus said, where is he? Or to Mary, where is he? He said, he's in the tomb. Rolled away the stone. Oh, it's 4 days now. He stinks. Mm-hmm. But what did Jesus do? He told him, roll away the tomb, roll away the stone, and he stood before the tomb and he did what? Lazarus, come forth.
Yes.
And the Bible said Lazarus came forth, but he came forth and he was bound hand and foot by his grave clothes. Mm. Right? He was bound hand and foot by his grave clothes. Grave clothes are dead man's clothes. Mm-hmm. No live man walks around wearing grave clothes, amen. So he's bound hand and foot, right? And then he got the napkin over his face. He got on grave clothes, amen. And Jesus said what? Loose him and let him go. But understand and get the picture as a comparison, right? That just as Lazarus, who was dead, was raised to life, but yet he was still bound by his grave clothes, by dead man's clothes. So the wrappings of death were still on his shoulders, on his hands, on his head. He was alive, but he still had the wrappings of death on him. It's just like us. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And God, Jesus, called us.
Amen.
Called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. But when we came forward, amen, we still had the wrappings of death on us.
Yes, amen.
It's that sin nature, mm-hmm. right? Which still, that sin nature binds us from moving and walking freely in newness of life. The same way the grave clothes prevented Lazarus from moving and walking freely, even though he was raised back from the dead.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Right? And so what happens, right? Jesus told the folk who were around the tomb, loose him and let him go. Mm-hmm. How many of you know that the people in your life, the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, the deacon, the first lady, the brother and sister in Christ, amen. Those are all people that God put in your life to help loose you from your grave clothes. Amen. Amen. Because we need help to get loose from our grave clothes, amen. Even though we have been raised to new life. It's the same thing like Lazarus, amen. We need help. We got to get off. And some of us, amen. Do you know how Lazarus must have been coming out of the grave? You think Lazarus just walked out the grave? He had to come out the grave like this.
Yeah.
Very slow. And some of us, even though you're saved, you're still walking around like this because those grave clothes haven't been loosed yet. But then, you know, as you go more and more with Christ, as you get more encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ, as you get more and more teaching from preachers and ministers and others, boy, those grave clothes come off. You start to walk a little bit better, amen?
Amen.
You're walking better today than when you first were called out of your tomb.
Amen?
Amen. But oh, how many of you know you still got some grave clothes on you? Because the work's not complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't have to get caught up and say, well, which one is it? It's both. You're saved, but you still got some grave clothes on you that's hampering your walk. And it's called that sin nature that's battling against what you want to do by the Spirit of God that's in you. Amen.
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 Right. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now, you just got to deal with something, amen. Because a wretch like me is a tough title, amen. Who you call the wretch? If you say that, amen, you just proving the point. ready to beat up the preacher, amen. You proving the point, amen. But I know it's a hard title, it's a hard thing, but there's hope in it. There's hope in it if we just listen to God, amen, and be patient, amen. Because see, you know, the tendency is going to be, you know, don't call me a wretch. Why? Because I'm a good person.
Yeah.
I love people who declare themselves to be good. Mm-hmm. I'm a good person. And I believe if we ask everyone in here, you would say you're a good person.
Yeah.
I'm a good person. Preacher called me a wretch, but I'm a good person.
Amen.
I say that too. I'm a good person. Yeah, but we can say whatever we feel like saying. How many of you know that just because we say it and just because we say it a lot doesn't make it truth? I know we believe it, but everything we believe is not true.
Amen. That's right.
Do you know sometimes we have this thing in our head, if I believe it, it must be true? Mm-hmm. No, you can believe a lie.
Amen.
I can believe a lie. And just because I say a thing, you say a thing, and we say it repeatedly doesn't make it truth. Jesus has sanctified them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's the only truth there is. It's the word of God.
Amen.
So I go around and I say, I'm a good person. You go around and you say, I'm a good person. He goes around and says, I'm a good person. But what does the word of God say? Because that's the only thing that's true.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 3, Paul quoted Psalms 14, 1 through 3, and 53, 1 through 3, because they're just about the same thing. And this is what he said in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. Listen to this. As it is written, and again, he's talking about the Psalms, amen, mm-hmm. 14 and 53. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Yeah.
That's what the word says. Mm-hmm. So I can go around saying I'm a good person. The word says there is none righteous, no, not one.
Not one.
And it also says there is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Amen.
Proverbs, which is written by the smartest man ever, the wisest man, I shouldn't say smartest, the wisest man ever. There's a difference between being wise and being smart.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The wisest man ever said in Proverbs 29, he asked a question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? That's a question. But it's a question that has an implicit answer, right? Nobody.
That's right.
And just in case we didn't catch it, the same wise man, Solomon, wrote in Ecclesiastes 7 and 20, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read that again. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin.
Amen.
I'm a good person. There's none that doeth good, no, not one.
Ouch.
But you know, there are some people who really believe it, or at least they don't really believe, but they try to pretend like they don't do anything. I met people like that when I was young in the church, and it intimidated me.
Yes.
It's like, they don't do anything wrong. And then I'm so glad that God, through the scripture, opened up my eyes and taught. See, that's truth, what I just read. That's the word of God. It's not people saying things about
that's
themselves.
Right. Amen.
And the word of God even has something for the people who say, I don't sin, I don't do this, I don't do that. Because 1 John 1 and 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
See what it says, not in us? The truth. Yeah, you're saying that words are in you, but truth is not in you. Because the only thing that's truth is God's word. And the word of God says none righteous, none that doeth good. No one who can say I'm pure from sin. No one who can say I do not sin. So we don't have to get defensive and say, wait a minute, I'm saved, so how can I possibly have this struggle between my flesh and my spirit? You're supposed to be saved. You should be above that. The devil is a liar. Amen. The most anointed man who wrote the New Testament, amen, said, I have a struggle with sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some people in the church got mad at Donnie McClurkin years ago when he made the song, We Fall Down, But We Get Up. Yeah, people going, what are you doing falling down? No, really. I mean, people in the church were like, well, if you really saved, you shouldn't be falling down.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? A just man falls 7 times and rises up again. That's true. So forget what people are saying. Forget what groups are saying. Look at what the Word of God says.
Praise the Lord.
But we have to know where we are in order to really walk with God in integrity and honesty. Amen. If we're walking around thinking that we got it all together, then what does that say about your continual need for Jesus?
Yes. Amen.
Because if you got it all together, then why do you still need the Lord?
Jesus. Right.
I don't know about you. I need the Lord.
Amen.
That's why that old song, Amen, Sister Nell, you know the song. I'm just going to tell you. You can start singing it. Well, you know that song? I need thee.
Yep.
I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Mm-hmm. What's that after that?
Every hour.
Every hour, I need thee.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Come on. We need God every hour.
Amen.
Amen. We need God every hour. We're saved, but I still need God every hour.
Amen.
So we don't have to get with that. But somebody says, well, you just picking out scripture. Fine, then listen to Jesus, the one who saved you. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do to be saved? What did Jesus say to him? He said, why you call me good? He said, there's none good but one, and that's God.
Amen.
Now, Jesus wasn't saying, I'm not good. Mm-hmm. Jesus, you know, he wasn't talking about himself and saying, I'm not good. He said, there's only one that's good. Why are you calling me good? But he was pointing out that man's hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Because, see, right now, all you think I am is a teacher. You think I'm just a man. You don't think I'm God. Mm-hmm. You don't think I'm a savior. You just think I'm a man. But if that's what you really think, then why are you calling me good?
Yeah.
That's what he was saying to him. If that's what you really think, why are you calling me good? And then he said, there's only one good, amen. There's none good but one, and that's God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was including himself in that. He said, I and the Father are one. So Jesus was letting them know, yeah, I'm good. But see, you're such a hypocrite. You don't even know I'm good. You're just calling me that to try to curry favor with me. Do you know that Jesus can slice you and dice you and you can walk away and not know you're cut? He just sliced that man to bits. Mm-hmm. Amen? He just sliced that man to bits. Called his hypocrisy. I said, why are you calling me good? But Jesus said, your Savior, that there's none good but God. So how do I walk around talking about I'm a good person?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So here's the thing, though. Because, again, it may be met with some opposition. So then what's the difference, then, preacher, between a believer and unbeliever? Because if you're telling me you struggle with sin and unbeliever struggle with sin, what's the difference? I'll tell you the difference. Here's the real difference, right? Believers recognize and hate the sinful desires that they have on the inside of them.
That's right.
And want to be freed from them.
That's right.
No unbeliever, nor the unbeliever, they don't recognize and they don't hate the sinfulness that's on the inside of them, and they have no desire to be free from it.
Amen.
That's the big difference, right? That, see, we have the Spirit of God living in us, and a war is raging because the Holy Spirit that's in us is leading us to a life of holiness and godliness, and that's how we want to live.
Right. Amen.
We have that desire. That's why you read your Bible every day. That's why you pray every day. That's why you ask God for forgiveness when you sin. That's why you come to church. That's why you sing songs. That's why you do the things that you do.
Yes.
Because you want to be more like Jesus.
Amen.
You have that desire. Aren't you glad you have that desire?
Yes.
I have a desire to be like Jesus. I don't want to be the person that I was born into, the one who was shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the one God saved me to be. And you know, as we get closer and closer to the light, right? Like anything, right? You bring it closer and closer to the light, what happens? You can see the imperfections, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Something far away looks nice in it, but if you bring it closer to light, oh, you can see blemishes and marks and all kinds of of things, amen. And that's how our heart is. Like, the closer we get to God, we become more sensitive and aware of the things in us that are not like Him.
Yes.
And we hate it, and we want to be free from it.
Yes.
And then we go to God and ask, take this from me. Help me to walk uprightly, right? Help me to break this habit. Help me to stop being so impatient. Help me to forgive. Help me, help me, help me, right? We just ask God for help, 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 because we see the imperfections in us, and see, and we know that we're trying, but we know we got this thing in us and we hate it. And that's why, like Paul, we can say, oh, wretched man that I am. We're not talking about that. We are putting ourselves down, but we look at that sin nature and know that thing is wretched on the inside of me.
Amen.
That's all it is.
Yes.
But we need to recognize that. But there's hope. There's hope for us. Praise God. And we go to Romans again, chapter 7, and we see Paul, after talking about this battle that he's going through, what does he say in verse 24? Oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm a wretch. I'm miserable. I'm despicable. And I'm vile.
Wow.
But what is he talking about? He's talking about that sin nature that's in him. Amen? He's not putting himself down. He's recognizing the depravity of the sin nature that's in him.
Yes.
It's a good thing not to undersell the wickedness of the sin nature. We need to know the battle that we're against. It's not some light thing. Right? Mm-hmm. And so he looked at it and he said, oh, wretched man that I am.
Wow.
Then he asked the question, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Mm-hmm. Because sin, the wages of sin is death. Sin leads to death. So he looks at this wretchedness that's in his sin nature and says, who is going to deliver me from this? And here's the hope. It's in verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our answer, amen?
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ our Lord who delivers us from the body of this death. Who allows us to say, oh, wretched man that I am, looking at our sin nature, but knowing that we are delivered from it.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ. Now watch this. We're delivered. We need deliverance in two ways. How many of you know? We need to be delivered from the penalty of sin. And when we got saved, we were delivered from the penalty of sin. Right? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many, I'm saved. If you're saved, I'm saved. Guess what? We are free from the wrath of God that is to come.
Amen.
We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. But we still need to be delivered from the power of sin. Right? Yeah. Right. And that's where the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us comes into play, right? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we are given power to live right. As so long as we obey and follow the leading, the teachings, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit leads us, glory to God. When the Holy Spirit leads us, we are free from the power of sin.
Yeah.
Because we're obeying, because the Holy Spirit only speaks when he hears.
Yes.
And he's only going to tell us what's consistent with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, with the character of God, and with the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when the Holy Spirit leads us and we obey, then the power,
yes,
right, is unleashed to deliver us from the power of sin. Right? That's why we read today, right? Sin has no dominion over you. Why not? For you and I are not under the law, but we're under grace.
Yes.
And by the grace of God, evidenced by the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, if we listen to God's promptings through the Spirit, we're delivered from the power of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Every sinful habit can be broken by obedience to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every one of them.
Wow.
By listening unto God and Him telling us what to do by His Spirit, we can be freed from that wretchedness, Thanks be unto God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, you go back and you look at Galatians chapter 5, and we looked at 16 and 17. Verse 16 said that this I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. You see that? Walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Follow after the Spirit's leading, and you and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
Right? That battle is there, but the victory is found in obeying God through His Holy Spirit. So the title that we have, Amen, A Wretch Like Me, is one that, it grabs our attention. Because it grabs our attention, let us know, this is who we are if left to our own devices. This is who we are if we live by that sin nature, or if we try to live without the one who saved us. Because see, we can't get saved and then act like we don't need Jesus anymore. Mm-hmm. We can't get saved and act like we don't need the Word anymore, that we don't need to be taught. No, we need God.
Amen.
Right? We need Him. But too many times, amen, we try to live a life of self-determination and self-reliance, and that gets us in trouble. Because there's nothing good in the flesh. And so when I look to myself, I'm looking to my flesh. Oh, but when I look to God, I look to my spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And when I look to my spirit, I'm looking to a source of power that's going to enable me to live according to how God desires me to live.
Amen.
Amen. And so I become more or less, I become less and less like my natural self, I should say, and I become more like the supernatural God who saved me.
Amen.
So what God is saying to us in the end, a wretch like me, listen, understand where you are, but understand that there's hope. And it's a message from heaven that's just telling us, lean on Jesus every day. No matter how long you've been saved, you can be saved 30 years, you still need Jesus today. Doesn't matter. Lean on Jesus every day, because it's the only way that you can live the life to which you've been called.
Amen.
You've been called to newness of life, but you still got some grave clothes on.
That's right.
Right? You've been called out of the tomb, but you still need to be loose and let go. And the only way you can find that freedom is by listening and obeying the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's the thing. And realize that if we don't do that, we're oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that I am. God told Noah, amen, he said, I got to get rid of mankind. Why? Because their imaginations are evil all the day long.
All the time.
You understand? The natural man, your imaginations are evil all the day long. All day long. Even a broken clock is right twice a day, but not man. You evil all day. You just wrong all day. Glory to God. But that's a sobering thing, and it's also one that should lead us to be at Jesus' feet even more and more and more.
Yes, yes.
Because that song is right. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour.
I need thee.
Amen. And so it's just something that just highlights our need for the Lord.
Amen.
We have this battle, but praise God. If you're winning that battle, you should lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord for every victory.
Amen.
Amen. For every time God brings you to a new level of victory, a new level in Him, right? Where you get that unforgiveness out your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's another part of my grave clothes that just fell off. Amen. When God gives you, you used to be tight with your money, and now, amen, you sow seed. Amen. You bless others, and you do all kinds of things. Praise God. That's another part of your grave clothes that came off. Amen. But here's the thing: you're not totally going to be free on this side of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
fine. But that's where you just continue to let God work on you.
Amen.
Amen. Work on you, because here's the thing. Without Jesus, you're nothing, I'm nothing. Jesus said without Him, we can do nothing.
Amen.
But Paul let us know, amen, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in Him, that we can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Who strengthens us. Amen. Amen. And that includes living a holy life. Amen. Even in the midst of this sinful and crooked and perverse generation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we praise God, amen. It's just really a call for us to realize and to recognize, amen, how much we need the Lord. Amen. Because I think there probably there are a few too many Christians, amen, who walk around thinking they got it all, that they got it down packed and figured out. You know what I mean? They walk around, they got it down packed and figured out. I'm telling you, they act like they co-wrote the Bible. You know what I'm saying, right? They act like they know. They act like they know. They act like they're all good and everything. Listen, wretched man that I am. It's a sign of humility and understanding, and it gives God glory. Because it's saying, you are the one who saved me. I could not do this. Because me, I'm no good. I'm vile, I'm despicable, I'm miserable. Oh, but I'm marvelous because your hand is upon me and I'm following in your footsteps.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
So that's all it is, amen.
That's right.
And it's a call for us to continue to recognize how much you need the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You are not going to will yourself to holiness. Amen. You're not going to will yourself to godliness. There's no habits you can do. There's no 12 steps to doing this, and then you're going to become. No. It's a lifelong process of obeying God in ways great and small. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's going to free you from the grave clothes of your sin nature. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We praise God for it. Amen. Let's stand on our feet and pray today. I think I did something pretty good, Sister Fennell. Amen. She's my conscience for the last time. I contend with her a lot, amen, but she's my conscience. Praise the Lord. Let's pray today. Father, we do bless you. Glory to God. And we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for your gift of salvation.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, God.
John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Yes.
We thank God for Jesus who has taken away our sin.
Yes.
Given us newness of life.
Thank you, Lord.
But though we're saved, God, we recognize our desire to learn and that the need for us to learn how to live saved.
Yes,
Father. So, Father God, we continually humble ourselves before you. And we present ourselves at the feet of Jesus to hear his voice speaking unto us through his Spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
For if we walk in the Spirit, that's the only way we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yes.
We thank you right now, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that you have cleansed us. And that you are sanctifying us and making us better and better and better.
Yes.
As we continue to walk with you.
Thank
God,
you.
We ask you to continue to just give us the desire to
yes.
hunger and thirst after righteousness. You said we shall be filled if we do that. And so, Father, we thank you right now for a desire, a hunger, a thirst for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the Spirit
yes.
of God.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. Because it is you who has done it. It is you who is at work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure.
Thank you.
Father, we just submit ourselves to you and ask you to have your way with us.
Have your way, Lord.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched woman that I am. Who can deliver me from the body of this death?
Yes. Thank you.
We thank God through Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Father, we
yes.
thank you,
thank you Lord.
For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who we need every day, every hour. May we continue to look for you and find you. We give you the praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.